Chapter 8. The following weekend, Jordan went to Freddy's Lounge for an unofficial memorial for Ari. At the funeral days before, he got to meet Ari's sister Nora for the first time and talked to her about dreams of the life he and Ari could have had if they had only known there was family out there for both of them. Tonight was one of those nights when Max didn't have much DJ spinning to do. She was mostly there to help run the audio with the sound and lights guy. Her records were on hold because there was a fantastic jazz band on the stage hearkening to days of the Cotton Club and the Blue Note at their peaks. The band's main feature was a stellar trumpet player who radiated sensuality from his tailored dark blue suit, fedora, and wingtips. The dance floor was covered by small tables and chairs which were filled with friends, both happy and sad at the same time, as generally happens when celebrating a person's life posthumously. Jordan spotted Max's shock of pink hair through the crowd. He went over and got a much-needed hug. She pulled back and resumed organizing the cables on the floor she feared people would trip over. "It's a nice turnout. The band is just warming up, but trust me, they're perfect."
"I do trust you, Max. I think that's obvious." "So have you seen Ty or Ray?"
"I asked at the front and Andre said he thought Ty was in the office. No sign of Ray yet." Jordan scanned the crowd to make sure he hadn't missed either of them. The band played for 45 minutes, then took a long break. That's when Max filled the speakers with more soft music. Since the dance floor was covered and there was no go-go happening, everything was kept cool and low-key. Max had previously prepared a playlist for this, so she didn't have to actually run the tunes. She wasn't making as much as she did on her DJ nights anyway, so Ty wasn't going to get the same tenacious desire from her to please the guests. Instead, she took the band's cue and went on a break. The bouncer at the side door greeted her with the quickest of small talk. "Sup, girl?" And Max continued down the graffitied hallway to the outside door. It was dark in the alley. She saw a group of men standing around smoking cigarettes and joints. Among them was Ray. He looked her way and gave a nod of his head. City pantomime for, "Hey, how's it going?" Max's head nod on the side angle told him to come over.
"What you need, Mix Max Tunes Rat?"
"Nothing, just need to talk."
"Talk? We ain't never just talked."
"Yeah, well, I ain't used to people getting whacked at my job, you know."
"Go on."
Ray's feet never stayed still. He was moving like a boxer, dancing around, twisting like he was dodging invisible fists coming at him.
"Damn, you're high now, aren't you?"
"Shut up, bitch. What are you, my mom?"
"Look, let's be real. I know you sold to Ari. I want to know if you know anything about who shot him. You were probably the last person to see him alive."
"You think I harbor that kind of knowledge and then show up to the man's wake? You're the high one, bitch."
He came too close to her face then. She wanted to bolt. His stank breath warmed her cheek and she wanted to vomit.
"So that's a no. You don't know anything."
Max struggled to keep calm and stand there. She thought if anyone listened closely enough, they could hear her blood pumping at quantum speed.
"Here's the thing. I'm a businessman, and I don't see this conversation helping my business. You get me?"
He postured toward her again, projecting his chest out, arms like they could grab prey at any second.
"Dude, I don't do drugs, man. I don't want your shit. I just want information."
"Yeah, well, everything has a price, Chiquita."
Max hadn't anticipated and didn't have a solution. Her fingers dug through her tiny girl pockets that could barely hold a quarter. There was no money in her socks or bra.
"How about this? I get paid in cash at the end of the night. I'll give you something then."
Ray's arm curled up and he ran a hand over his head.
"I don't know. How do I know you won't skip out? I think I need a down payment."
He grabbed his crotch and lifted his junk a couple times in his loose jeans and laughed.
"Ew, pig, no way."
She took steps back and hugged her arms tightly against her body. She thought about trying to soften herself a little bit, anything to get his guard down.
"Man, I only have a few minutes and gotta get back inside. I made you a good deal. I'll give you half my wages from tonight."
She lowered her arms and hoped she looked coy with her hands reaching into her tight back pockets. Her breasts weren't big and she was damn sexy for a punky girl who wore only lipstick. She let her ink and piercings stand out on their own, so she wore a skimpy, loose, sequined halter top to show off as much as possible across her back, her chest, and her arms. Ray was staring, so her tactics seemed to be working.
All right. Here's what I told the cops. Some guy, I don't even fucking know him, came up to me and Ari right over there."
He pointed to the spot next to the dumpster.
"He put a gun in my face and told me to fuck off. I got up and ran. By the time I turned around to see what the fuck he was doing, it was already too late. I heard the shot, but I tried to see if I could, you know, see him to figure out who the fuck he was, but he bolted. He was gone."
"So you left Ari there in the alley to die alone. You fucking asshole."
"There was nothing I could do. Would it be heroic if I got popped too?
I ran and turned once I thought I was far enough away in order to look back, but it was dark and I didn't recognize him anyway. So I didn't know what direction he went, even. Poof, he was gone. Ari's feet were sticking out from behind over there. I got the fuck out of there. But you said you talked to the cops. Did you leave or didn't you? Max was pleased that once Ray got talking, it was harder to shut him up. The problem was trying to figure out if any of it was true. Ray moved in closer again to speak quieter. He kept looking over at the guys smoking. He fidgeted while he wrestled with talking to Max or going back to being a small-time criminal. Okay. You are frustrating me. Like I said, I ran down the alley towards the sidewalk. I heard the shot. I turned when I got to the end. Then I hung around in the crowd like everyone else. But I had to talk to the cops because Andre the bouncer told them I was the one that went out there with Ari. Not like I had a choice. Max had to get back inside the club. She was glad to be done chatting with someone clearly sampling his own products. She thought Ray was vile and she wanted to take a shower after only 10 minutes of being near him. She couldn't imagine why Ari would fuck around with such a loser when he had Jordan. All that mattered was that she got what she needed. That left her with trying to figure out a way to not turn over half her money at the end of the night. One mission accomplished. She went into one of the unisex bathroom stalls and happily found a place devoid of people fucking and doing drugs. She reached under her loose blouse and pulled off the lavalier microphone that ran up her torso and was clipped into her bra. Her pants were extra tight with the power pack jammed down them, wedged outside her underwear in her crotch. It was about $100 worth of equipment stuffed in places normally reserved for more personal electronics.
You've been listening to Vodka O'Clock Noir by Elizabeth Amber Love from AmberUnmasked.com. Thank you for sponsoring through Patreon.com/AmberUnmasked. Music provided by ASCAP through Free Play Music, composed by David Flavin and Roland Kritzitis.